Well, welcome back. Today we have great special guests for the 500th episode. We have Travis and Max.
Yeah.
Ooh, man, you guys have gotten high tech in the last 400 episodes.
Right?
You guys are like Bob and Tom. Is that still a thing? Bob and Tom?
I don't know. Is that
it was 400 episodes ago.
Is that a positive attribute or a negative attribute?
I don't know.
Could go either way. Depends on your taste, I guess.
The rest of the world's going Bob and Tom. Who in the world is that?
I literally have no idea what you're talking about. You're literally just saying words.
It's two boomers that just basically laugh for a couple hours on the radio.
Yeah, bad dad jokes and just laugh about nonsense.
Oh, so it's basically exactly like this podcast. That's great.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Gen X. I'm not quite boomer.
I'm a millennial, but maybe I'm Gen X at heart. I don't know.
But millennials, have you noticed they've kind of gotten like the free pass now? Like it used to be everybody hated millennials, and then along comes Gen Z.
Yeah.
I think it's that way with every generation. Course. Talks crap about the generation that comes after it, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. your kids, Travis, and your kids too, Max, they'll be like, you know, those stupid Y generation, they're terrible.
We're in real danger of saying something Patreon only, and we're just on the regular podcast, Brian. Just calm down, guys. It could very easily get out of control here.
It hasn't been about tone in 400 episodes.
Do you guys do video for this too, or is it just audio?
We just record audio.
Awesome, perfect. Yep. So I don't have to worry about what my situation
You don't have to put your pants on, as you say.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you can leave your pants off.
I think I'm just going to go ahead and just, you know.
There's no rules.
No rules.
He has shown three nipples, just like Scaramanga. Deep cut for the kids.
It's my superpower.
Jake has four.
Does he? Oh, yeah, that's right. He has two nubbins, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah. We know a guy with four.
Four nipples? You know,
yeah. Okay, firstly...
a bull.
Can I just, Max, can I just ask an
His
innocent
dad was
question?
A bull. Mom was a cow.
Is this gentleman from Indiana?
Oh, absolutely.
How can you possibly ask that? You know the answer.
Southern Indiana.
I feel I know him well already.
I sent a video or a screenshot or something to Richard this morning. I'm like, see, I'm telling you, this the way I talk in this way is accurate. This is
like
literally
this.
How
Richard.
People talk in Indiana.
You talk funny.
Yeah.
Well, this is quite a monumental episode. First time Max has been back on for a while. First time we've had you back on for a while, Travis. Four Yanks and one Brit. Let me just tell you, do not Google that. Okay? That can cause all kinds of problems. But this is like a legendary episode, Bri. Is this everyone that's ever been a host on this show, like all at once? For the first time.
We've never done this before. Yep.
It's like Voltron. We're kind of all connecting and we'll make
Voltron,
some kind of super robot.
It's like Voltron. You know, when I was a kid, I practiced
an American reference. We didn't have Voltron over here.
You didn't have Voltron?
How do you know that explains a lot.
Jeez.
Hey, you guys
missed out. British.
You probably had something proper. You know, it's like, no, we had Mr. Butts or something. No. We had Mr. Butts, not Voltron.
What? What the actual hell?
Mr. Butts, he's just an assemblage of different cheeks that form together into one giant keister.
Feaster?
Oh, funny.
Good. Well, I'm glad we've started with so much on-topic information. That's good news. How are you doing, Max? Because you're probably the longest, furthest away presenter in terms of having come on, as I said. So what's new in your life?
Man, so I was just talking to Travis about this earlier today. So I think the last episode I was on actually with Travis was, I wrote it down, episode 225, which is 6 years ago. So I've been,
Wow.
It's hard to believe. Yeah. So it was that 6 years ago. I've been gone from Wildfire for 8 years. So since then, I have changed jobs, bought a new house, moved to Northern Indiana.
Had a child.
Yep. I got a beautiful little 5-year-old girl. Still married to the same wonderful woman. Been busy.
Is she sat next to you? Because you said that very well scripted.
I'm not, but I'm just covering my bases woman. In case she listens to this at some point. Right?
Is the beautiful sure woman is. With us in the room right now, man?
For the benefit of listeners, Travis is making air quotes.
No, but just been super busy. I fell into the corporate world now, so I'm a greedy capitalist pig. But absolutely love it. It's super fun being a broke musician, but it's even better being able to buy groceries and paying bills. So it is. It's wonderful.
Wow. I wonder what that's like.
I've got to get one of those kind of jobs.
Yeah.
Along those lines, I had a situation where a recruiter reached out to me on LinkedIn and, he looked at my resume and he was like, "Look, man, I understand you like music. That means you probably play an instrument." I said, "Yeah, I play guitar." He goes, "Wouldn't you rather have a job to where you could afford to actually buy guitars?" Yes, I would. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it happens to the worst of us, Max.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Yeah, it's all, everything's good, right? It's all part of growing up, and I can buy cool new stuff now. I never have to worry. Now it's like I have too much stuff.
Max just ordered a pedal.
I did just order a pedal. Yeah.
Really? What did you order? I just move it into Guitar Gear?
I like that. Amazing.
What'd you get?
What pedal did you buy?
So I took a chance. A company called Gooptech out of Quebec. Gooptech, however you say it. But they make their King of Tone kind of clone, two blues breakers. It's called the Queen of Crow. They're all handmade. So, the price is right. I'm like, all right, let's take a chance here.
Oh, they're super affordable. When do you have not got it yet? Is that correct?
It is my Valentine's Day present. It's coming in Valentine's Day. So I told my wife, you don't need to get me anything now. It's all good.
There you go.
Right. I've never seen those before.
So I bought one. So a long time ago, I used to beg this one guy. He makes pedals. He's based out of Martinsville, Indiana. He's got a brand. He's doing okay. New startup. But I asked him, I said, "Man, you ought to do a Green Ringer and a Fuzz Face and put them in the same box." And he was like, "Yeah, well, I don't like you or your opinions. Get out of my house."
And you're fired.
Yeah. And you're fired.
Yeah.
But no, I actually found I found one. It was that Gooptech. Now, can I cuss or no? Is that?
You can, but I clean it up whenever we...
Okay, well, I'm getting ready to cuss. So, it's spelled P-H-O-U-Q-U-E, I think. I'll have to look that up. Okay, it's French for seal, but it's pronounced... So they have a pedal called the face.
I was going to call it the faux cue. I thought that right. was the receiving pronunciation.
So the version, the version with the Green Ringer, you add an R onto the faux Q, and it's called the. So I bought the, and it's adorable. I see. It has a seal on it.
And what was it that sold you on the swearily named pedal?
the fact that I couldn't get my really good friend to make. Me a pedal of what I wanted, so I had to go outsource it.
Hold on a minute here, Travis. Hold on. You wanted Brian to make you a fuzz, right?
Yes, sir. He's done it before.
Let me tell you about the new King of Fuzz around these parts.
Oh, yes.
It's not Brian. So if you want a fuzz, you want to come...
Introducing the British King of Fuzz. Today, the king requires a tariff. Yes, another tariff. And you must lay down before him at least...
Well, I don't want anyone to lay down. Steady. That's not how this is. This is not about that.
3 50-50 switches. There must be true bypass ready.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you guys have sound effects. I totally thought that was a tumor in my head for a second. I just kept looking up. I'm like, oh, no, please don't be real.
It is mine.
Oh, dude. Hey, Max, remember that time? So, okay, Max tells a story, but remember that time we were in a restaurant, the lights flickered, and I was like, did that just happen?
Yeah, and I was like, yeah.
That's right. I was like, forget you had that.
I was like, it did. Why? He's like, cool. I thought I was having a small seizure because Travis is epileptic.
No, I said, I thought I lost time again. And you're like, whoa, what's lost time? I'm like, well, sometimes I'll have these like little episodes where like, it, like the lights flicker. And he was like, so ever have those while you're driving and I'm in the car?
It's like, you drove here, dude.
There's been times though. Remember, there's one time we were driving through the woods and like,
yeah.
For an epileptic, sunlight coming through the trees is a strobe light. That's all it is. So I was literally driving and like Max looked, saw a look on my face. He goes, you okay there, buddy? I was like, maybe you or Shelly should drive.
I'm doing real good. I can actually smell color right now.
Yeah, right? Yeah, synesthesia, baby. Mm-hmm. But sorry. But I went off topic. Imagine that.
How about that?
Let's get back to this fuzz. So who is the king of fuzz? What's the king of fuzz then?
Oh, yeah.
You are looking at the new king of fuzz. The Ooh. British king of fuzz.
I thought that was Jesse Davey.
I'm just a hack, and I make pedals, and I then text pictures of them to Brian, and he tells me which bits to fix.
I circle the solder joints. Like, you might want to fix these. Like,
hit this one, and this one. But I've been really enjoying it. I've just built a Big Muff this weekend, and it's a slight modified version of a Big Muff. Sounds awesome. Better than any Big Muff I've ever actually owned.
Oh, it does sound good. Because, like, straight up Gilmore.
Yeah, no, I wanted to build a Gilmore-y Big Muff, so I found like a kit. But first, I bought the new EHX Golden Special Edition Big Muff.
Okay,
I thought
I bought it. The next day I got an email from them saying that I had not bought it, despite them having my credit card details. So I just went, Perfect. Well, you know what? I'm going to make one. If you're not going to send me one, I'm going to make one. So, yes.
I have an idea for a green ringer and a foot. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh.
Andy Wood uses an interesting fuzz pedal on his board. And I want to say it's a green ringer, but I don't think it is. I don't know what it is. It's a weird one that he picked up. It is an octave.
Yeah, so the green ringer. And I really don't know, so I'm kind of just
have to look at this.
Talking here, but Brian, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't the Green Ringer originally a module that went in a guitar or like in line with a guitar and it wasn't a pedal? Or was it an actual stomp box?
No, it was I'm remembering correctly, it was one of the Dan Armstrong. Yeah, it was a Dan Armstrong, and it was part of that same line they had.
Is that where you plug it into the guitar?
Squeezer? Yeah, the orange squeezer, and then there's another really cool fuzz that does that too.
The purple one or something, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's a super, super simple circuit, to make. That's fun. Mm-hmm. Me and Max had beers in my garage one night, and we both made Green Ringer clones.
It was true. Purple Peaker. Is that the one?
I'd have to look it up. Yeah,
you're not supposed to Google things like that, Brian. That's dangerous. The FBI agent's really wondering what's going on right now.
Oh, they've got Brian on their scope. They know everything. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
They've been watching me for a while, just shaking their heads in disbelief.
Well, yeah, it's whenever you're riding your tractor shirtless with a assault rifle. That probably didn't help. shooting at your fire pit, trying to ignite some fire.
That's wrong. You're not supposed to do that. Okay.
No, that's the most Martinsville thing I've ever heard in my life. As long as you drove a lawnmower to get to your tractor, because that's your street legal vehicle.
True story. Oh, yeah. True story. I asked Brian what he was doing at work, and I was working in Wampler. I'm like, what are you doing tonight, man? He's like, gonna dig a hole with my tractor and fill it back in. I'm like, that's the most Morgan County thing I think I've ever heard. I'm gonna dig a hole in my tractor.
That may have been more in my drinking years. That was I used to do some stupid stuff like that. Like, you know what I need to do? Dig a hole.
And everything you do now is
drink
perfectly
some beer
sensible.
And then fill it up.
That was the Bud Light years.
Yeah.
the lost years, we call them.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was Max.
There is a story. There is a story I wanted to ask Max about that was raised on the podcast recently, but
we may have to
like cut this whole section out if it turns out it's really insensitive of me to ask. But the subject of being roofied came up, and Brian said that you once got roofied, and it was something to do with Travis and a date. Yep. Well, and that didn't sound right to me. Was Brian yanking my chain, or did this actually happen?
I don't know how much
happen?
We could tell, Max. I don't know. I mean, I'm divorced now, so we could probably tell more. No, I'm joking. So. So,
believe it or not, I don't think we could tell a story, but believe it or not, I've actually been roofied twice in my life. One I can talk about, and the other one I can't.
Okay. Right?
Which one is the one you can't?
Yeah, let's not talk about any Travis, legal cases.
Nope, the one with Travis I can't talk about.
Let me talk about that one then, okay? Because I can give a very high-level overview without getting deep in the weeds.
Okay.
There was a female that fancied me. I was married at the time. And we were all hanging out at a bar. Probably not the best idea, but I figured Max is with me. I won't get in trouble. So what does this person do to take Max out of the equation?
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
True story.
Yes.
So not the normal version. It's usually kind of the opposite. Yeah. It'd be like, let me get Travis. I'm going to roofie Travis. No, we got to get rid of Max.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. She roofied Max to try to further her endeavor with me. And I am happy to say, as a married man at the time, I did not act on it. I got Max and we got out of there.
Yeah.
He said, come on, buddy. Now's not the time for a nap. We got to go.
I remember when I was playing that guitar and I just kept playing diminished chords over and over again and it started freaking you out because we were under influence of other things.
Well, yeah. I was drinking. I had like 3 or 4 beers and like in a row, like very quickly. And I'm like, man, I'm going to have a headache in the morning. Do you have any Advil? She's like, yeah, special Advil. Take one of these.
Oh, jeez. Never take the special Advil.
Don't take the special Advil, bro. Never take the special Advil.
And I could tell he was feeling it, so I just kept going.
Yeah, true story. You know,
that chord used to be punishable by death in the 1600s, right? Yeah. And he was just like, man, why are you doing this?
We talked about the devil's tritone before. Yeah. Brian thought I was lying. That's an example of
No,
it,
it's
Brian.
The truth. It used to be punishable. You would be stoned to death if you played the diminished chord.
Oh, we were stoned. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that's right. That's right.
But not to death. That's a lot. Yeah.
No, well, he couldn't hear.
I don't think that's even possible. I've been trying for 50 years.
So true story. I've only been mad at Travis like 4 or 5, like really mad, like 4 or 5 times our entire life. And that was one of them.
Four?
I don't know.
Oh, one time coming back from Fort Wayne, you were really mad at me.
That was coming back from Sweetwater.
Yeah, that was when you dropped Brian's amp.
Hey, we relicked it. We agreed that it was relicking.
Yes, absolutely. And we told him about it. We did. Were very upfront.
I think so, yeah.
After the show,
because we wanted the stress to be over from Gear Fest first. And then
we
were like, hey, by the way, we broke your amp.
which amp was it? I don't even remember.
Your
Hot Rod DeVille?
Yeah.
Okay. Or Hot Rod Deluxe or DeVille or something.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you probably did me a favor.
No, so that was the second Sweetwater Gear Fest ever. Like, they had like a torrential amount of rain. Like, I mean, there's probably 3 or 4 inches inside the tents at that time because of how the parking lot was graded. So like everybody was in a, like a mad dash, like put all their gear up on a podium, and like Travis and I were not communicating very well. I thought he had it, he thought I had it, and then it just dropped, and we both looked at each other like. I was like, okay, we're just gonna I think we set like a coaster or something on the dent like the whole show. Every time Brian came over, I just like leaned over, put my hand on it. I'm like, hey boss, what's going on?
Okay, what was the other time you got mad at me?
I don't remember. It was probably over something stupid. Okay. But yeah, that was like the first time I think I was like, oh my gosh, we're not friends if you keep playing that chord.
But it probably came out more like, not for your friend.
Oh, yeah, there's probably drool on my shirt.
I was proud of myself that night. I got my butt. I could tell my buddy was in a bad shape, and I got him the hell out of there.
I was in really bad shape.
I am patting myself on the back for that one, because she was hotter than a trash fire, man.
Sounds like she kind of was a trash fire, though.
Yeah, I was gonna say, she was kind of a dumpster fire.
Yeah, like. Yeah, but now she, you know. So what do people like that do? They never mind. Never mind.
Oh, I'm glad to have opened up some old wounds.
I can surmise.
No yeah. old wounds. I just don't want to give out any information that may lead to her identities, and I about did. So, yeah.
Man, we're going to ruin people's lives here. Let's do this.
Yeah. Let's ruin them. Yeah.
Do you have any social security numbers we can shout out or anything?
Yeah.
Let's dox some people. Let's go.
So I have to ask, how did roofing come? I didn't listen to the episode. How did roofing come up in normal conversation?
I mean,
there's no such thing as normal conversation. Man.
Yeah, pretty much like it has here. It was just like, here's a dumb idea that we should talk about. And it just led on to other dumb ideas. I think I was talking about like how spiking is now a real problem in like British clubs.
Yeah.
Like when I was a youth, like if you went to clubs, you were safe. Like if someone handed you a drink, they basically wanted something off you, but they weren't going to drug you for it. So now when my daughter goes out, who's 21, she has been spiked at least once, and there is a real risk of any girl being spiked. And I think, you know, it's such a cowardly thing to do. And of course, Brian was like, this is getting deep. I'm going to tell him a funny story. And so he told me a funny story. But then casually he dropped in. He goes, also, I think something happened with those two fellas that used to work here, what were their names? And then that's how it went. So we didn't incriminate anybody. That's all I'm really trying to say. Nothing was said.
Well, now, have you seen the hair scrunchie thing that doubles as a topper for your cup? Have you seen this?
No. So
like, I mean, I don't have enough hair to worry about scrunchies.
Well, you have
so
a daughter
no.
that probably has the hair to worry about. But,
she has more hair than me.
They have like a ponytail holder that kind of doubles as something you can put over your drink. I forget what it's called, but that's what it's for. Like, and that's how sad that this society has become.
It's
that, like,
really
now there's
sad.
Actual product.
It's like a mini safe. You put your cup in this little mini safe set on the bar.
Yeah, and it's this little, it's like this little cover that you can tell if it's been disturbed or anything like that. And so, yeah, I mean, hey, I'm all for, I have a daughter as well, you know? I mean, so does Brian.
I'm
so
sorry
Max,
to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for all of you. Sorry, you're going to go through hell. Brian's already been through hell.
No way, mine is still
a
sweetheart, dude.
What do you mean, bean? What do you mean by bean?
Brian is currently experiencing extended hell. Let's put it that way.
Mine still thinks I hung the moon, dude. I love it.
Oh, enjoy that, because that ends. That
stops. I know, dude. Yep. I'm looking
forward
to movie
you'll be
night
like
and cuddles.
The devil.
Yep, absolutely.
Although I gotta say,
all these stories, I'm just like, huh, glad I have boys.
Dude, pretty soon they'll just try to fight you.
That's fine. That's fine. I can handle that. That's totally fine.
Dude, I would tell you though, my daughter is my dude. Like if I'm building something, or she knows the difference between needle nose pliers and you know, just pliers. It's great. So it's awesome.
You're like, grab me a screwdriver. Say, you want the number two Phillips, Dad, or you want the number three?
Exactly. She's great.
Yeah. Oh, actually, hand me that Torx. Yep.
admittedly, sorry, I'm not trying to steer. I wanted to talk about
good.
The second batch of Tumni, the germanium Tumni.
Oh, yeah.
The second batch. Is it done? Out yet or no?
I don't know.
Yes,
the factory
we have basically shipped them to everybody, Bri.
Have
I
we?
Think.
They've all been shipped?
As far as I can see on the website, I can double check it now.
Because I know people were asking me. I haven't worked for Brian Wampler.
People were asking Blake, and he's never worked for Brian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, you got the hookup on that germanium tumnus, dude? You think you can get me one?
I had more than one person message me on Instagram, usually. Yeah, it was all on Instagram. Multiple people being like, hey, I ordered this from Guitar Center or insert retailer here. And they cancel my order. What can you do about it? I'm like, you literally can pound sand about it. Like, yeah, I can't do anything about it. I got it twice, and then I just copied and pasted my response to the next guy. I was like, I literally have never worked for Brian ever.
I'll get like,
I just talked to him.
I wish I'd have said
on
that.
The phone
really
once
do.
A week.
That's right.
Dude, we make inappropriate jokes together. I got off the socials.
I don't blame you.
4 weeks ago. So if anybody sent me a message on the Insta, like, and I'm ignoring you, like, not ignoring you. I got.
Did you get burned out or what?
Yeah, man, I just did. You know, like, and it started freaking me out. I don't want to give out. So I found out certain people have certain jobs, and like, they have told me things like, hey, man, it's kind of weird for you to give up that much access to your life voluntarily. Like, the people, if they wanted it, they could have it anyway. But, like, you pretty much just offer it to everybody. And I started thinking about it. And I went 2 days without checking my messages on Instagram. And I had 14 messages, right? And I was like, oh, my gosh, that takes time to reply back to these. And I've been doing this for years. For free. Right? Like, but you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. So it was one of those things that's like, I'm just going to, like, I didn't do the thing where you delete your account or deactivate. I just took it off my phone. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not the type to be like,
this
I'm
is
taking a break,
actual...
guys, you know.
No, you don't have to announce it.
Announcement.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody who won't care nor remember me in 2 days, you know, like, I mean, I'm not trying to
but
get dark.
But it is a huge issue, man. I'm so addicted to social media, not just because, you know, I kind of earn money through it, but also I'm addicted to it. And I recognize that addiction. And mm-hmm. It's not just the social dopamine. Media. It is the dopamine, but it's also, it's the communication and it's my phone. And, you know, we went away for a weekend recently and I did not use my phone for a whole day. And I was like, this feels fantastic. This is right. The like, most liberated I've felt for a long time. And I've been like, you know what? Every weekend now, my phone is mm-hmm. is going into sleep mode. Sorry, Bryce.
Yeah,
that's why you can't get me. But it's like, I've had enough of it. It's like, I'm not available to everybody 24/7.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, you know, everybody here, I don't know how old Blake is, but I mean, you said you're a millennial, so you remember the days of landlines. You remember life before cell phones,
I use rotary phones.
Yeah, exactly, brother.
Yeah, he's a little old man. He's actually 70 on the inside.
That's right.
Max has just literally, like, lifted up four different cell phones. He's like, he's got like a burner, a business phone, a satellite phone, and a Nokia. Okay, Travis has just one-upped him, but what Travis doesn't know is I can tell they're all iPods he's showing me.
No.
Those are aren't those your kids? Like, one of them's your kids? I got one personal.
One of them is, but this, one yeah, work. This is my work one, and I'm on my... But,
I could never have two phones. You're insane, the pair of you. I've tried.
Well, I don't want to give out my regular number to customers. You know, I don't want to give out my real number to customers. I don't want to mess with like a Google number or anything
and
like that. So
whilst I couldn't handle it, I'm not going to lie, that might have been advantageous at some point in the past couple of years.
Hey, at 6 o'clock, I won't look at this again until 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. And you know, 6 o'clock Friday, I don't look at it anymore. But you know, the whole phone thing is like, I found myself getting mad at friends because they wouldn't respond to a text message. What gives me the right to think that just because they have a phone that they should be available to me 24/7?
Well, back in the day, you would leave your house and no one would see you until you returned to your home and no one would have any idea what you were doing.
And nobody wants to admit it, but I bet everyone has been irked at least once because they've texted somebody and you've thought to yourself, I know this fool has his phone on him. Why isn't he getting back to me? Right. Everybody's felt that feeling before because being ignored is like the worst feeling in the world. And it's like, sometimes I'll just forget. Like I'll set it down and just won't. Yeah. So I've
and that's happening to me a lot more as well. And I do just tell people, I'm like, I'm not ignoring, like, I do get a fair number of people just randomly texting me at all times of day because obviously I work for companies around the world. And sometimes I genuinely, like, I'll see it at 4 in the morning look at it, take it in and go, right, fine, and then completely forget about it for 8 days.
And that, so yep. That's why you always leave me on red.
Okay. Yes. That's why, Bri. Yes. Yeah. Sure.
My classic move is I'll this is even worse. So you see it, you go to reply, you type your reply.
Don't hit send.
You don't hit send. And yeah. You set it, and then you think that I have now done my duty and replied to that person. And then you go to tell them something else 3 days later, and you're like, huh. I never hit send on that. Whoops.
I got a buddy that calls me out every time I do that. It's so funny. Because I did that once and he was like, Jesus, man, it's been 6 weeks since I sent that message. It's like it's been like 3 days.
So what do you guys think about the Apple headset thing? I mean, we're talking about
the Vision Pro?
The Vision Pro, yeah.
I saw a clip of this guy getting out of his Tesla like PV car.
Yes. In with Boston, his goggles think, on yeah.
And like doing all this and like closing windows. That must have been a prank. No one is that much of an
A guy
anus,
just did it
surely.
At a professional basketball game. A guy was sitting courtside at a basketball game and was just doing all the gestures and stuff.
Yeah.
So come, the one thing, friendly asteroid, destroy this planet now. So here, it's gone too far.
So here's something that I am really excited about. So I'm pretty big on music tech, okay? And a lot of the companies that are doing some really cool stuff that, you know, let's face it, it used to be called the metaverse, right? We don't really call it that much anymore. It's just right. Web3, whatever.
Are we talking about delay pedals? I hope we're talking about delay
not
pedals.
That metaverse. Not that metaverse.
Wait a minute. Mark Zuckerberg has that name,
so
Richard.
There's, there's gestural instruments being invented as we speak. So basically, like, there's a guy, Brian D'Oliveira, I believe is his name, and he has a company called Mantra, MNTRA, and he uses and I'm totally just giving him an advertisement, but it's because it's really cool, and I believe this guy, first off, super
Brian,
interesting.
Brian, quick,
dude.
Get an invoice whipped up to the person.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I'm invoicing as we speak.
Yeah.
But he has ultrasonic capturing abilities, recording-wise, that can go well above 20,000 hertz. So, you know, obviously that doesn't make sense why you record it, because you can record things like crickets chirping. And then
has he just invented the dog theremin? Is that what you're telling me? Yeah.
So basically, so
I'm
going to
call all of the dogs.
Right? So he gets all these frequencies, he loads them, and then pitches them down using very high resolution to where it's still an amazing bit rate or sample rate. And then he creates instruments out of them. If you want to see something cool or hear something cool sometime, look up like, I don't even know how to suit... pitch down crickets. It sounds like an orchestra. It's one of the or like a bunch of monks singing. It's incredible, man.
Really?
But anyways, he does this all around the world. He's trained in I don't even want to say it. It's basically an Indian way of singing. It starts with a D. I don't even want to try to say it. But anyways, he has a guru that teaches him. Basically, they meditate on one note for like an hour, like in a circular breathing. So he's very schooled in this, and he goes all over the world, basically doing soundscapes of different environments, and then he's pitching them down to create instruments out of it, so you can play a rainforest. So how that works is you bring it in to his software, which is available. I mean, you can do it on anything, but I imagine it's going to be integrated into things like the Meta Quest and the Vision Pro, to where you can gesturally control these things. And as you walk through these maps, and they've made it gamification and gestural. Yeah. And it's really, really freaking cool. And then there's also companies like Reactional Music, I think they're called. They're doing like music and soundscapes that change with the environment of a video game. So the music's never the same twice. So if you're in the metaverse or wearing one of these devices, if you go in a certain area or whatever, that environment you're in changes the soundscape that you listen to. So,
but if it never repeats, I mean, it's very, very cool technologically, but if the music never repeats, like, it's never going to become hooky in your head. You're like, just never going to, it's just going to be like lift music.
Yeah,
exactly. I know, but I'm playing this zombie game at the moment, and there's background music in it that's like some kind of 80s funk fest. Nice. It's fantastic. Is and it I play the game just to hear it. Yeah, it's amazing. my other problem with the goggles thing is it's definitely like the thing of the future, but not until they're the size of regular glasses. Mm. Like, we're going to look back at everybody who's walking around with like the Apple Vision Pro or whatever, and it's going to be the equivalent of watching people driving a Ford Model T.
Or a bag phone.
Yeah, one of those big old phones.
Yeah, exactly, one of those big old satellite phones. But also, as a gamer, it's just tiresome after a while. But let's face it, the thing that's going to push virtual reality isn't going to be games, isn't going to be technology. It's going to be the same thing that pushes everything. It's going to be naked bodies. Yeah.
I'm serious. Absolutely. I don't know what the stat is. I heard it once, but I mean, 87% of all stats are made up. But the biggest portion of the internet is, you know, scantily clad. So, and that's what moves everything.
Based on my research, I can confirm that.
But so, you know, I just think the possibilities for music and creation, and then also like there's some people like it's also democratizing and lowering the barrier of entry to people to make music. So as a purist and a guitar player, I kind of like, well, that's some bullshit, right? I want them to put in their 10,000 hours. But at the same time, look what Guitar Hero and Rock Band did for guitar. Right? Like it gamified it. It lowered the barrier of entry into that, and it brought a lot more musicians to market. I bet you, I mean, there's probably no way to quantify it, but I would guarantee that that video game sold you a lot of guitar pedals, Brian.
Probably
you know
so.
What I mean? Probably so it's so, like, yeah. I'm excited about the lower barrier of entry to becoming a musician, what that's going to spawn. And then, like, of course, all the AI. I could go into music tech, AI, all that stuff. So I'll shut up. Like, you asked the wrong person.
I think that it gets a little bit misconstrued sometimes when people are like, oh no, now anybody's going to be able to make it. And I think that's cool. But what people miss is like the Guitar Hero and stuff. That's a good example. The amount of people that I've interviewed at this point, they're like, well, I started playing Guitar Hero and that made me really interested in guitar.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot of them. So, yeah,
so I was teaching guitar lessons at that time. And I went from having 12 students a week to 40 students a week because people were going to. And so, I mean, my paycheck literally tripled because people found a video game that glorified the guitar, and I was like, I'm riding this wave, baby. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Brian, make a note. We need to write a game, Pedal Hero. Basically,
so, I don't want to say this. I don't know if any of your competitors listen to this, so I won't say. I'm doing sneaky like devil.
Oh, I can edit things out. You're fine.
Okay. But there's a I've sent both you and Richard a device before, a picture of a device that's really cool.
Yep,
we need to figure out a way to do something in the guitar space for that price point and then get it in gift guides. It would blow up. So we should talk
this
offline.
This was the Auto
that.
Blow 4000, right? No, that was a different message.
Yes, but I've seen what it's done, and I know they sold 250,000 units in one day.
Oh, that sounds like our pedal cells.
Yeah.
I was going to say, did they put germanium diodes?
Although there is, you can edit stuff out.
Yeah.
I have noticed there is a guy that pays way more attention to you than he ever has, Brian. And he's on Facebook.
Who you're talking. Let's just say, if there were a number of people and one was called Digital Woman, he would be the exact opposite of Digital Woman, right?
Yes. So it's not just me, because I'm removed, right? I am so far removed from this, but I am friends with both of these people. And I've noticed anytime something happens, that other profile, there's things that happen.
Yeah, he does not like me. I don't know why. I actually like him, and he hates me for some reason. I don't know.
You know what? So here's the thing. I mean, obviously, I mean, it could point to the creation
of a
purple petal, right? Like,
right.
So, yeah, yeah. But I bet you his sales went up from that.
Probably.
I bet it did.
Of course.
I bet it did. So, but yeah, anyway, I mean, I've never met the guy. I like him. You know, I appreciate everything he's done. I'm a user of his pedals. Love them. So, but I noticed that. I was like, that's got to be like aimed there because it's too coincidental.
Yeah,
not to be. So
he's done some stuff like that several times. And he's had a rough couple of years. And I always just think, well, yeah, guys he's having a bad go for a few years. So,
Look, not everyone's going to like you, Brian. In fact, not very many people like you.
I read the comments. It's okay.
I like you, Bri. It's okay. You're still my special buddy. But you know, the guy is like an industry legend. We cannot ever say anything otherwise. No matter what his you know takes on what we do are. He's made some fantastic pedals that a lot of people I know absolutely love. And the fact that we bought out, you know, something of a similar origin, because he didn't invent the circuit himself. He made his version of it.
There's only 10,000 different Bluesbreaker variants.
Well, and I think yours sounds different. I think they sound different.
I really do.
I think they sound completely, and yours is very capable of sounding night and day different than his, I think. And likewise, vice versa, so.
I'm glad it's not just us that notice it, though, Brian.
Yeah, I don't have a dog in the fight.
I mean, you know, he posted like this big reel of germanium dials. I'm like, where I get some of them dials at?
Hey, excuse me. I'd like to, can I have some of them, those?
It's funny that I said that, and instantly you're like, oh, yeah, we're tracking.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up, Max.
I think, Max, it is about this time that someone needs to say, hold on, I've got this written down. Hashtag hash brown, is that how it goes?
I think that was a Wildian thing, wasn't it? The hash brown. That's what hashtag wrong. Because everything I said for a while was, you're just wrong, Max. Shut up. So forever it was just like anytime I'd say something like right or wrong, people be like, hashtag wrong.
And then hash brown Jason wrong. Was like, hashtag I remember it eventually even like, became okay. If I remember correctly.
It's basically become your like signature phrase. Like even if you're not in the industry, that will be your industry epitaph. I think.
I don't know. My favorite thing, Max, ever. Well, there's a lot of funny things that I probably can't say, but throw it on the screen. whenever we were doing the video, and we found out Bojo could do like crude editing, and I don't mean that towards him because he did it crude on purpose for comedic effect. It was very, very well placed. But Max would be like, throw it on the screen, Bob or Bojo. Like the worst looking, like 8-bit Nintendo Fireball would explode onto the screen.
I was so mean to that guy because he hated doing that. And so, like, I told Travis, like, I wonder how many times I could do it in an episode. So I'd be like, there's one time I was like, like, different stuff. Bob, he was editing, came in my office. He's like, I hate you. I hate you so much.
I remember one time, I don't know why, but I had the giggles and Max and I both did. In like one episode, you said generally like 17 times. And I kept saying like the General Lee, like, you know, the car. And Max and I, like I went back and watched that episode and Max and I, we were red eyed and you were getting so mad. Oh, good times.
He's just chewing more and more Nicorette.
I find I get red eyes sometimes when I maybe get some shower gel in my eyes or something like that, kids, because there's no other explanation. But I mean, both of you guys really are part of, you know, the origin story of Wampler. You are legends of the Wampler sphere, I guess.
I'll give my take on that. My take on that is Brian was an overnight success 15 years in the making. And we came on the morning of that overnight success, right? So he did so much. I mean, he sold his roofing business pretty much. Said, I'm gonna throw pedals at Brad Paisley, lived off the streets. And then, you know, he started making some headway. And I mean, I can honestly say when I came in, I think we had 5,000 Facebook likes or followers or whatever they were called at the time, you know, and then I remember seeing that skyrocket. So the perception is I've been there from the beginning, but the actuality of that is Brian worked his butt off and I was able to kind of come in whenever he was like, I need some help. I need to hire one person. And I was kind of, I mean, you had Kathy and, you know, Carla, and obviously Amanda has been instrumental, but I was kind of the first outside guy out of your friend sphere pretty much that kind of came in. And, so the perception is I was there in the beginning, but I really don't feel like I was.
I mean, it was just like, there was a lot of things that happened at that point because, well, we kept having to move to new places, to bigger buildings, right? And then, and then it was always, we were always trying to figure out like, how do we make something better, like content-wise? How do we make better content? So that seemed like maybe bad recollection, but it seems like to me like that's what we spent the majority of our time on is what kind of videos do we do? What kind of podcast do we talk? Like, well, what can we create outside of guitar pedals?
So much has changed since, Bri. I mean, we never have that conversation.
Right, it's so different.
What's so funny is I remember this, like it was yesterday, we were driving down to Paducah, Kentucky, and we were doing the same pedal demo over and over again, the 17-minute long pedal demo. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was just exhausting. And like we knew you could see the trends and the analytics of everything, just attention spans, whatever, right? You could see it like hard data, like this isn't working. But it was all anyone was doing, right? Yeah. It was the same thing. And, you know, Pete Thorne and back then, what were they called when Andy was back there?
Pro Guitar Shop?
PGS. Yeah. So, and those were working great, but I remember the conversation, Brian and I looked at him, I said, we need to reinvent it. We need to do some type of show. And that's all I said. And then he stewed on it and he was like, we should do a podcast. And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, yeah, just research podcasts. So I forget what it was. I listened to one. And I was like, so it's sports talk radio. Just, you don't talk about sports. So he was like, Max, you guys do one. So, so me and Max did the very first episode.
First
of Casing
five,
Tone.
I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the first couple. Yeah. And we sent it to you and you were like, oh my gosh, this is actually listenable. Can I get in on the next one? and that's when it took off. But yeah, I think we did like the first five. And I've never, at that point, I had never listened to a podcast more than 2 minutes in my life. And I started a podcast because I listened to it for 2 minutes. I was like, oh, it's sports talk radio. You just talk about music. Cool. Let's do this, Max.
it was easy. Like when Travis and I first started talking about like, what are we going to talk about? Like our life is basically a podcast. I think like Travis and I still talk probably every day, almost every day.
Yeah. Every day.
And it's literally like, the stuff we talk about now is almost the same kind of content we talked about then. It's like just hanging out with your buddy, making each other laugh. Like who could do the stupidest thing to like, it's makes me giggle uncontrollably. Then we brought Brian into it. And like when Brian came in, there's a totally different element. He was our boss, but it was also cool to like, he wasn't our boss at the, you know, in that setting.
For that,
it was like,
yeah, for that hour and a half.
Yeah. He was just
your
buddy,
more
right?
Of a sort of chilled out entertainer than a boss. That is a reference for anybody that's seen the UK version of The Office, all right? Let's just leave it at that.
You know, the biggest compliment I think I ever got was we were at NAMM and somebody came up to me and goes, you know how many times I've caught myself talking to you guys? And he was like, I honestly think I'm in the conversation with you guys. It feels like I'm in a room with all my buddies and I'll start like, oh yeah. And then, and then I'll realize I'm talking to my radio, you know? And that was, and then that was the second biggest compliment. The first biggest compliment was actually from Blake. Blake was like, man, you guys were one of the first. And like, just the fact that he recognized that, I'm not saying we were
no,
the first.
No, you really were though. Yeah.
But, you know, Blake was like, yeah, man, like, dude, you guys were the kings. You guys were like one of the first to do it. And I was like, dang, dude, that's awesome. So thanks for that, Blake.
Well, it's true though. Like you guys were the first guitar podcast. I'd been listening to like Famous People's podcasts because they were the only ones really doing them at that point, at least that I was aware of. Right. And my buddy Leon, he does Pelican Noise Works now. He was like, hey, you got to listen to this Chasing Tone podcast. And I was like, what is that? He's like, it's just guys talking gear like we do. And I was like, okay, all right, let's give it a shot. And I was like, this is great. And I was already kind of trying to navigate my way in the online space and like figure out some sort of different job because I was miserable. But I was like, you know, I think I could do something like this. Nobody's doing interviews. Maybe I'll do that. And so it was like probably you guys were probably at episode 60 or so when I started mine. And then
you've always had great branding. That's the thing I always loved about yours, man. Is, you know, I was like, oh, Tone Bob, that's cool. And then like your logo looked cool and like your online presence was cool. Like it was cool to see. I was like, oh, there's somebody else in this space that's kind of doing it a little bit better than us in that area of it. That's the thing because I mean, I'm a firm believer that just like anything, community just raises awareness and makes everybody better. That's why I've never understood competition around musicians, right? Like
it's so weird how it becomes a competition.
Yeah. It's like, especially like within scenes, like where I live in, you know, close to Indianapolis, and there used to be competition. I'm like, you guys are idiots. Like all it takes is one guy to make it from Indianapolis, and then people are going to come to Indianapolis and say, well, what else is in that scene? So,
right. Yep,
you know, that's the way I've always looked at it. And especially if somebody's doing something better than me, like there is going to be that competitive nature, but it's just for me to better myself and then they'll better themselves. Yeah. So I don't know. I've always appreciated your branding. That's the one thing that I was like, man, we should have done that better. But you know,
I appreciate that.
I was going to say, from my perspective, go on, you say nice things to Travis first.
Okay, I was just going to say I appreciate that because it really just came from like, I really like guitars and I really like mob movies. Like, that's literally that's all it is. So,
yeah.
So for me, though, I'm just mad like,
oh, go ahead.
It's my turn to talk. Let the newsman speak for crying out loud.
I'm teasing Richard. Go ahead.
I mean, I was just really going to round off the story by saying that I came into this, like, I picked up the guitar again properly probably about 8 years ago. After, like Blake, I was miserable in a job and it all went very badly wrong. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to do something I enjoy. And I started playing guitar again, plugged into a tube amp, and eventually found a OnePlus Sovereign pedal. And I was like, oh, let me check these guys out online. And I found the Tone Group and I listened to the podcast. And at first, I was listening to the show, you know, absolutely as a listener, and I couldn't get enough of it because it was just after I think you guys had left and it was when Blake had started. But it meant there was enough time to kind of go back and listen to some of the episodes with both of you in it. And I totally got it. I was like, this is... You know, this is pub talk over here. This is what we would be sat around a table in a dingy pub talking like, and absolutely loved it. So to be part of it was wonderful, but no doubt you guys were like groundbreaking. And this week I got contacted by a friend of mine who's very well connected, and he's very well connected with a guy who owns a podcast company over here. And I don't want to mention any names, but it's one of the biggest podcasts.
I can be bought. Before you go there, I can.
These guys.
I want some of that Joe Rogan money.
I'm ready to sell
out. They are making, and then they're not internationally famous like Joe Rogan, but they're making £85,000, not dollars, Bri. That's $100,000 every month from podcasting. I'm like, we need some of that action, Bri. I mean,
yeah.
Where do I sign? You know,
just be glad Brian shot down my first name for the podcast.
Oh yeah,
no, you can't say that on online.
I remember one.
I'm saying the pedal file. It's still funny to me. I'm sorry, it's still funny.
You know, to kind of tag on everybody's, you know, saying, but like, we're talking about advertising, Richard. I think one thing that kind of gave us a jump start. And originally, like, I remember Travis and I sitting down with Brian, like, hey, let's monetize this thing. Let's make some money. Let's bring in some advertisers. And Brian's like, no, we're not going to take money from anybody. And I think that's one thing that really kind of launched our success is we weren't bought by anybody, right? Nobody was giving us money. We weren't forced to say anything we didn't want to say. We gave honest reviews on things. And I really think that honesty and this plain talk really kind of launched it, you know, and you guys took it even further.
So Yeah, well, we've changed it now. We'll take anybody's money.
Gladly take advertising dollars. Well,
and the other side of it, too, is, you know, something that I've noticed that people just like about Brian, and sorry to kiss your butt here, but, like, you've never been afraid nor tried to shun us away from shining the spotlight on a competitor. Yeah. Because I play a lot of different brands of stuff, and I'd be like, hey, should I talk about it? You're like, absolutely talk about that. And I'd give examples of whenever I would bring in a competitor's pedal and you would play it and you go, that hurts my feelings. It's so good. You know what I mean? And like, how many people back in those days, like, it's like you played everything close to your chest, you know, like, you know, so you're the Vampla. Well, you'll know who I'm talking about. So, you know, it back in those days, it was still kind of, and it's probably still cutthroat. I don't really know what I'm talking about because I'm not in the industry anymore, but, you were one of the first guys that was like, yeah, man, I really like this pedal by this brand. And, you know, and now, like, I think it's cool because, like, and I'm not saying you did this before Josh Scott or Josh Scott does this before you, but he does that a lot. And I see a lot of this. I see a lot of the same comments like, dude, that is so awesome that you're giving love to the, and he's known for it now. So, you know, you've always allowed us to do that.
It's so common especially among the brands that have kind of been around a while. So, with, you know, the JHSs and Earthquakers and Keeleys, like, all, we're all kind of friends and we ship pedals to each other when we release them and stuff. But it seems like there are a couple, you know, like the one that we mentioned earlier, that does not want to join the party. And maybe there's some newer companies where, like, I see them posting on some of the DIY forums and stuff, and they have a bit of a chip on their shoulder sometimes. And that's kind of sad to see, because at the end of the day, like, you're just making toys for guitar players.
Yeah.
You know?
An old pack or a DSP.
I tell you what, I've always liked Philippe, too, at Caroline Guitar Company. Just the way that guy's always handled himself. And he's got some innovative stuff. And, like, the only bad thing is like, every now and again, I'll forget what a knob does and I don't know what the label means. that's on me, not him. That's me not taking the time to learn his product when I know that that's his thing. So, but he's another guy that I just want to shout out as always. That was really cool ever since the beginning. So,
yeah.
He's always been cool. Like, I remember drinking a beer with him in Nashville one time and we kind of went down a rabbit hole tech-wise. I remember looking at him. I was already 3 or 4 drinks in. I'm like, you're too smart for me to have this conversation anymore. Like, when you talk about something different, because the dude is like so smart.
He is, yeah.
Yeah. Cusack's
another one. What sort of amp? Cusack's ridiculously clever. He just, every time he posts something, I'm like, how do you know everything about everything? But I was going to ask you, Max, because we haven't had you on the show for a long time. What are you playing through at the moment? What is your main amp of choice? What kind of guitar are you slinging? I know we're probably running well over time by the way my phone's blowing up right now, but...
Wow, we are, yeah.
So main amp, I'll go real quick so we can get everybody off here. That sounded gross.
Are you going to roofie me now?
No. No, so main
amp. Hesitated before saying that.
And I blinked twice. No. So main amp, I'm playing a Bad Cat Black Cat. So that's kind of my main amp. I never wanted like a Voxy thing at all. I work for a guy that played Voxes all the time. I'm like, I hate these amps. And then one day the switch kind of clicked. I'm like, oh, I freaking love this circuit and everything about it. So I'm playing that. Les Paul Standard. 97.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Got a main guitar.
We're brothers. That's a 98 or a 99. I'm not exactly sure the serial number on it. It says it could be either.
So
it's a vintage now.
It's a vintage now. That's hard to believe. Pedals are kind of all over the place. I still always have my Wampler Forte Becco. It was the first Wampler pedal I ever bought. It's never, ever left my board. I played a ton of different delays. I think I've owned probably 15 delay pedals. Always stays on my board. I play some TC stuff. I just ordered that Goop Tech pedal. That's pretty much it. I kind of stripped everything down. Once I found my amp tone I really enjoy, that's kind of where I'm at. One pedal I hate to admit it. I've been talking about this pedal for like 10 years, but it's the JHS Double Barrel. I've always wanted one. I've never bought one. I probably should at some point.
But, I forget which circuits are that.
I still haven't bought one yet. So Josh, if you're listening, I'd love to have one.
Is it the moonshine and the
moonshine and like their Morning Glory? I think
Morning Glory.
Okay, the yeah. So Tube Screamery, Blues Breakery type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So
I thought. Max and I were having a conversation about this yesterday. You know, Max has always been famous or infamous for running two Tube Screamers. So like that's his jam, right? And then he told me, he's like, man, with this Bad Cat, I don't really like my Tube Screamer. And I was like, well, that kind of makes sense because what you're used to hearing and dialing in, you're getting from your amp now. Mm. So you're getting that mid-range response that you're used to. So now that's like your bass tone. And when you go to add on that Tube Screamer, you're probably like, yeah. So it's like, that's why I've always been like, man, find that amp that works for you and you won't even need an always on pedal.
Yeah.
Why does my guitar sound like this? That's now. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of how it was about Soldano, man. It's like the ultimate drive.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah, dude. Yeah. Once I got the Soldano, that was it. I was like, I'm pretty much done now. I mean, I still dig my pedals, clearly. And I've got a lot of success with using the not very clean channel and other pedals because there's a trick with a Soldano for sure. Such a great sound, though. But I have to say, I've been playing a pedal today that we will release, I don't know, I'm going to say in about 4 or 5 months.
Can I have it?
Yeah, anyway, Andrew?
I mean, we can definitely arrange it. It's awesome. It's not awesome in the way that I thought it would be. Again, Brian has pulled something out of his rear end, and you know it's actually really, really good and different, and made me want to play like longer than I would normally play in a day, which is always a side.
I think he's been eating more fiber.
But yeah, you should definitely try some of our newer pedals, Max.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter made a fantastic chili last night. I'm not gonna lie. I got to say, before we go on, some guitar stuff. I restrung my Floyd Rose equipped Friedman with your beautiful string joy strings by myself. I had to watch a video because I had to just like make sure I didn't miss one trick or tip because there's always a couple. Like, and the one I just want to check on is do one string at a time, which I knew, but I just wanted to double check that I was right. And so I went on, and the first video that came up was actually one of our artists. So I was like, dude, I'm watching your video right now. But I got that guitar set up and it has stayed banging tune ever since. Right. It just like
awesome.
All of my other guitars are just going, yeah, forget about it. Even the G string on this is just like, I am here for you, sir. I will not go out of tune. It's a great system when it's set up, right? Mm-hmm. I think I've fallen back in love with Floyd Roses again. I think now is the time of the Floyd and not the Pink Floyd, although it is that time.
Take a shot.
Well, it's funny you say that. Like, it, of course, for all the negative connotations and having to drill holes in the headstock of your guitar, there's something to be said for it that it works, you know?
Mm-hmm. Cool. So see you guys.
That's cool. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm looking at my other phone and like the 17 work emails that came in over the hour, and I'm like,
I was gonna say we probably need to wrap it up. We've already an hour into this so far. So
look, guys, we're gonna record a Patreon. Travis, you said you're short of time. Max, if you're not short of time, you are welcome to join us on the Patreon and say all the things about Travis that you didn't get to say in front of him.
That's right.
Because I feel there's more.
I would love to stick around. My wife and kid are actually coming home here soon, so I might have to bounce out. But I would love, if you guys want to do this again, I'd love to do this again sometime. Like, it's been too long.
Cool.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Awesome. 100%.
Thanks for joining us again. It's been, I can't believe it's been that long ago. It's
6 years, yeah.
Did we start it in 2014?
We started almost 10 years ago. Yeah, 10 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, so almost 10 years. Wow. Yeah. Jeez, you guys are getting old. Big, huge shout out to our executive producers, who we appreciate very, very much, because they allow us to do a whole nother episode, which you can get to if you happen to be on a Patreon. But first of all, big thanks to Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Knight Haas, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Vidar Frostad, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Patrice Fournays, Dylan Toxtone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Tom Kelly, Jake Young of the Man the Helm podcast, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, El Gibarito, Nick Spano, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Pedals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, The Elusive Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, Philip Carter of the 40 Watt Podcast, Mark Bowman or Bowman, I always forget, Christopher Logan, Jason Englehart, DeCroahawk, DeCroahawk, no, DeCroahawk.
DeCroahawk.
There we go.
Come on.
And
DeCroahawk. DeCroahawk?
That crowhawk right there, I'll tell you what. And Dylan Lewis. Thanks again. Got to do it again. And to all the Patreon members, we'll see you over there in a minute.
All right, guys.
See you guys.
Later.
Bye.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@womplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@womplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.